shot, shot, shot.
I just come in, Dello Ryan. I just blow me barrel. Nick Newton. And I crack me hammer.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1. Today in the studio we have Don Gibson as our guest from the Franklin County Green Party, and he's the chair of the Franklin County Green Party. Welcome, Don.
Thank you very much, Connie and Bob, for having me here. And I actually am the co-chair. I want to give a shout out to Connie Hammond, who is my co-chair in the Franklin County Green Party.
And that's one of those principles or policies of the Green Party, parity between and the genders.
Feminism. And,
feminism and gender equity and respect for diversity.
And so. I know the National Green Party has a 10 key values.
That's correct.
Would you explain to our listeners kind of what the Green Party is all about and what those 10 key values are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, as you mentioned, there's 10 of them. Grassroots democracy. So we think that every human being has deserves a right, deserves a say in participating in decisions that affect their lives. And for us to be able to do that as a political party, as governments, institutions, we want everybody to participate in this, not just decisions made by a few, decisions made by the powerful. We think everybody has a voice. Secondly, social justice. Equal opportunity. Again, all persons should have the right and opportunity to benefit equally from the resources that we have on Earth, in this country, in this state, wherever you happen to be listening at right now. Thirdly, you know, with a name like the Green Party, you might expect this one, kind of a no-brainer, ecological wisdom. So we support things like sustainable energy, green jobs, things that, you know, are out to protect and preserve the planet rather than destroying it. So we feel that that's very important. Fourth would be our stance on violence. We're very much committed to nonviolence, and we think it's essential to develop effective alternatives in society to violent outcomes. Fifth, decentralization, moving towards centralization of wealth and power has contributed to social and economic inequities in the world, and injustice, and has helped bring about environmental destruction to planet Earth. Community-based economics, economic justice. We think it's essential that we have a vibrant, sustainable economic system, one that creates jobs, provides a decent standard of living for everyone, not just a few. But yet maintains healthy balance with the environment. And then we mentioned this before, but feminism and gender equality and equity, and respect for diversity, mentioned those two things. Personal and global responsibility, we think that everyone has a personal responsibility towards one another and towards the whole global world. Focusing on the well-being of everyone, not just themselves. And then finally, future focus and sustainability. So probably one of the most important values I think we carry forward.
Great. Thanks for that rundown. I noticed that you mentioned green jobs in there several times. And I know it seems like sometimes labor and environmental issues are at odds. Do you have any comment about how maybe the Green Party tries to reconcile those two interests?
Well, again, I think they're really linked together, one, you know, hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. Certainly, folks have to have a better understanding that, you know, green jobs are good jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they're good not only for the environment, for the planet, but they're good for the people that have them, and they're good for their communities.
Right. And it seems like, you know, it's that you shouldn't have one at the expense of the other. you know, we all need to find a livelihood and to support ourselves and each other in our communities. On the other hand, you don't want to see extreme environmental destruction because people are being employed exploiting the Earth's resources. And you see that in West Virginia right now with the mountaintop removal.
That's coal, yeah.
And there, you know, you have, it's almost like a civil war. You have neighbors fighting each other because some of them are working for Massey, the coal company, mm-hmm. and then others are having their water supply destroyed and they're being poisoned and rocks are falling into their trailers and killing their children, you know, so and basically the mountains are being leveled off.
Yeah,
and so there is a lot of tension there because people do need to support themselves and have a livelihood, and it's a very impoverished area. But, and a lot of times the workers who are employed and the environmentalists the local people there who are concerned about the environment sometimes find themselves at odds. But I do think that the Green Party seems to offer sensible policy for how to reconcile some of those competing interests.
I would fully agree with you.
Well, as part of full disclosure, I should disclose while I'm being the host. I am the co-chair of the Green Party, and I did run as an independent for governor with the Green Party endorsement. That said, the question to me is, these sound nice, but what do they mean specifically? I'm wondering if we could take them one at a time. The first principle is?
Grassroots democracy.
How is that different? If I'm out there and I'm a listener, we say grassroots democracy. How is that different than the democracy we have now?
Well, for one thing, Greens support fair campaigns, fair elections.
There's a shocker. everyone should have the same amount of money?
One of the things you'll notice is we don't take donations from corporations, PACs, political action committees, or businesses.
And we can say this jokingly, but in many European countries, all the parties do get the same amount of money.
Absolutely.
And my favorite place, the Netherlands, all the different ethnic groups that come in from different countries get their own cable stations, their own TV and radio stations.
It's, that's nice.
You know, here we have two parties. Granted, and the good news is the Democratic Party is the second most pro-capitalist party
yes.
in the Western Hemisphere, because even more pro-capitalist would be the Republicans.
Correct.
So how would grassroots democracy, is that anything like the old notion from the 60s of participatory democracy?
Absolutely. Getting people involved, and really the whole Green Party movement, I think, in this country and even in Europe where it started was really started from the ground up. I mean, it was people working towards these ideals, these 10 key values, building a political foundation and moving them forward. It wasn't, obviously, we get no corporate financing from any of this, so there's no interest in them supporting us, that's
for
sure.
What's your problem? You hate unnatural people?
Well, I mean
like
almost...
They have the same rights as the rest of us to give this money, don't they, Connie?
It almost seems like the democracy we have now, in comparison to, like... and contrasting it with grassroots democracy, is almost like choosing between Coke and Pepsi, you know, where, you know, you vote with your dollar, with your purchase. There are really only, you know, the two choices try to set themselves apart, but they're really almost the same.
Both are pro-war.
They're basically the same recipe.
I think we would say they are the same.
They're basically the same
recipe. They support the war.
They're different branding, yeah. Yes. It's like slightly different branding, and people get really attached to that label, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat.
they have different demographics. The Democrats got, from my perspective, a better demographic, but their overall policies don't justify, from my perspective, why African Americans, other minorities, women would disproportionately vote for a party that's that conservative.
Those the parties, the two main parties, really don't represent women's interests or African American interests, or, you know, it's supposed to be a representative democracy, but representative of what?
Well, they've lost touch with what people need in this country, both of them.
So, What's the second point?
The second one is social justice and equal opportunity.
Okay. I mean, is that just rhetoric? What do we mean? Social justice and equal opportunity.
Well, I mean, I think there's some barriers that we face, racism, discrimination, things like that.
Housing.
Class oppression, yeah. That we have in this country that, you know, we're willing to stand up and challenge the norm and fight for those folks that are, you know, the underrepresented in this country. And the two major political parties don't have an interest in fighting those battles.
So how do you respond when the Republicans say the Democrats are needlessly dividing the country by social class?
Well, they're both dividing the country by social class. I mean, that's like the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
But isn't the country divided by social class? I mean, if you talk about class, aren't we just recognizing that there's a few really wealthy people and a whole lot of poor people?
Sure.
The third point there, Don.
Ecological wisdom.
All right, so that seems like basically, I mean, the Green Party is the environmentalist party.
We are. I think.
and it's so important right now as we're kind of like, you know, heading down the path to doom that we have a party representing those interests, the environmental interests that are so important that, you know, the two corporate parties seem so willing to sell out for a profit. And, you know, those trees that we cut down and the fish that die in a mass genocide in the seas are, you know, they may never come back. So we need to preserve what we have.
Well, I think biodiversity. Obviously, we've gotten rid of that. I mean, even something as simple as what the agricultural industry has done to bananas. I mean, when you think about all of the species of bananas that were out there 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago have...
Well, there's Dole and Chiquita. There's
good species of bananas.
But they've essentially stopped... they've Dole essentially encouraged, yeah. You know... farmers in right. South American countries to grow one type of yeah. crop. So, I mean, even when it comes to something mm-hmm. to something as simple as bananas, a lot of people don't think about it. They go yeah. to...
Well, at least they've given us three apples, the green, the red, the yellow.
And the yellow, yeah.
And they're poific looking.
Okay.
What's four?
Nonviolence. I think, again, this is sort of a no-brainer for us all.
Well, I know, yeah, you can say that, but aren't we right now occupying...
two countries,
Afghanistan, Iraq, and 800 military bases. If it's a no-brainer, why are we the largest military force on Earth?
That's a great question. One I wish I had the answer to. But, you know, we're looking at, I mean, just think what happened over the weekend with Korea. You know, we're getting involved in the politics in between North and South Korea again because of China. How many more wars do we need to be in? How many more countries do we need to occupy? And where's all that money coming from? You know, I mean, we're essentially borrowing from our grandchildren and their children
and the Chinese.
And the Chinese, yeah, to pay for these things.
And does nonviolent go beyond war in the military? Does it apply to the police, the other agencies, the violence against people who don't have enough?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to promote nonviolence in everything that we do. We've certainly had enough of it in this country. We've certainly inflicted enough of it on other nations. We need to look at it from a personal level, I think, from our relationships with others that we deal with. I mean, it's even civility, I think, is something that we as a culture have lost.
Yeah, I think the Green Party looks at nonviolence in a pretty holistic way. So that it's kind of permeating every aspect of your life and your personal life, for sure. But also, we see a lot of the violence around the world.
All right, let's run through these points.
Decentralization, again, you know, we think that people, decisions should be made at a local level, personal level. That's the way you impact things.
What kind of decisions are we talking about?
Any type of decision you make. I mean, where you tend to spend your money at, where you... who you tend to support.
City government.
Your city government, who you vote for, you know, where you do your shopping, what kind of industry is coming into your community, you know, what is happening in your community. Are they tearing buildings down to build shopping strip malls that you don't need?
Yeah, one of the concepts the Green talk about that I'm always impressed with is relocalization. that we can actually make stuff, local people,
yeah,
that aren't corporations, that are small, you know, closely held companies or proprietors.
I think we can have a big effect on our local economy. And that we don't necessarily, you know, there's a big economy, there's an international economy, and we're worried about our national debt and things like that. But I really think that by, you know, having small and independent businesses and neighborhood associations and nonprofits where we kind of help each other out and trade, barter and trade, or, you know, have small businesses and spend our dollars locally, that we can affect our local economy and have a strong local economy even when the national economy is suffering. And, you know, I heard that $1 spent locally in your community circulates 7 times, but if you spend it at a large, you know, like Walmart or something, then it leaves your community immediately. So we can really increase our wealth by supporting local economies.
And those folks need it the most, the mom and pop shops, no doubt.
What's next?
Where did we go? Community-based economics, economic justice. Mm-hmm. So I think we just really kind of touched on some of those issues there. Feminism, gender equity, I think, again, this is a group that's been underrepresented in democracy, in our government, in decisions that are made.
But doesn't your party have a hard time finding, it's a 50-50 split, ain't it? You're looking for 50% female males to run for office and to serve?
I would
How
love
would you
it.
Possibly get 50% qualified males? That's the key question.
Well, if you look hard enough, Bob, you can find men that are qualified.
You just have to look really hard. It's a lot of work. Respect for diversity.
Meaning? What type of diversity?
Well, cultural, ethnic, ethnicity, race, gender, religious, spiritual, you name it.
And biodiversity.
Biodiversity.
But what about the great American tradition of always being mean to the newest immigrant group?
Well, we should just not be very mean for very long, and then we should be nice.
Yeah, most of us
it's
here.
It's just a little hazing.
Most of us here come from immigrants, don't we? I think. Personal and global responsibility.
What does that mean? People are going to say that's rhetoric. What does that mean to you, Dan?
Well, what we want people to do is to improve their personal well-being, at the same time as you know, working towards the larger planet as a whole. It's not just about Don Gibson or what I need. You know, it's not about just driving my car to work every day. You know, maybe it means picking up a bicycle every morning and, you know, riding my bike to work rather than burning fossil fuels to get there. You know, I take responsibility for what I do to the environment, what is my impact to this earth.
As the feminist movement used to say, the personal is political.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's next? How many? What number is this?
I think we're on the last one. Future focus and sustainability. So what we should be doing now is not, you know, ruining this planet for our children and for their children and for their children and grandchildren. We've got to think about the actions that we take on and how that's going to impact everything going forward from this point.
Yeah, the term I always love is intergenerational tyranny.
So what is that?
It's like, let's rape the environment, destroy everything, and pass it on to future generations.
Yeah, I think that emphasizing the environmental issues as youth issues and for future generations is important. And, you know, currently the voting age is 18. It could be lower. Children have a consciousness about politics and the environment. They have an opinion and, you know, they have a stake. They have a really big stake in the environment.
Great.
All right.
Well, this is Don Gibson from the Franklin County Green Party. And the radio show is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1. And let's talk for a moment about the Green Party in Franklin County. Wow. Franklin County has a Green Party?
We do.
And what's going on? I should actually make my own disclosure. I'm part of the Franklin County Green Party. I'm the secretary, and I'm also the secretary of the Ohio Green Party. But why don't you tell us about, you know, the successes of the recent election and plans for the future?
I'd love to. So this was a 2009, 2010, two big banner years for the Green Party, and not only Franklin County, but Ohio in general. We've got party status now. We were given party status. We actually fought for party status and got party status.
Connie and I were involved in that.
Yep. So some very important work going on behind the scenes, but we're now the fourth largest political party in the state, and I believe we're also the fourth largest political party in the country. So we've got a little under 300 registered voters in Franklin County, which considering how hard it is to register as a green,
and the way to do that, they actually voted in the primary for green candidates,
which is the only way you can do it.
Which were few and far between.
Right.
The only way you can get registered as a green is to actually register when you go to the primary election, which is held in the springtime every year. But we had a couple good candidates run this year. We had Dennis Spezak and Anita Rios, who ran for governor and lieutenant governor. They gathered, I think, about 57,000 votes in Ohio, which was an increase of, I'm sorry, Bob, but it was an increase of about 36,000 votes over what you guys got in 2006. So that was a huge step up.
That's pretty significant.
You know, and in fairness to Bob, it's the first time we've ever had the Green Party line when people went in to vote. So, you know, Bob had to run as an independent when, even though he was a Green Party candidate, he had to run with an independent party line back in 2006. So we showed about a 1.5% increase over that. And in Franklin County, we got about, 3,600 votes in Franklin County, 1% of the vote.
Yeah,
went to those folks. So that was, you know, for a political party that has no money, no corporate financing, no financing from big business or unions or political action committees. I mean, that's huge for us.
That's more than a modicum of support, wouldn't you say?
That's great. So so our job now, I think, going forward is to build a party, get more people involved in it. You know, I thank you both for having me on this show because, you know, this gives us an opportunity to get out there and talk about what the Green Party stands for, which a lot of people have heard about us but maybe don't know a lot about us. So
great. Well, how can people get involved?
One of the things, we actually have open meetings, which unlike a lot of political organizations in this country don't, but we actually have open meetings that the public can come to. We invite anyone and everyone to come out to those meetings.
Is that part of that grassroots democracy stuff, Don?
It is. We're not going to exclude you based on your bank account or the color of your skin or, you know, your gender. I mean, we want everybody to come out and have a voice.
Tell me about these open meetings. Is there one that's planned sometime in the future?
We've got one coming up next week, which is going to be December the 7th.
Great.
2010 at 7:00 p.m. We do ask folks to RSVP so we can plan kind of, you know, the size of the room that we're going to hold it in and get a good idea of how many people are coming. So what I would ask, if we would love to have you come out, those in the listening audience here, if you could shoot me an email at fcgreenparty@gmail.com. And I'll repeat that since I nearly screwed it up.
Yeah,
it's fcgreenparty@gmail.com. And just let me know you're coming. I'll send you the address and directions and all that stuff.
And when was that meeting again?
It's next, I think it's Tuesday, isn't it? December the 7th.
Tuesday, December 7th.
A day that will live
7 p.m.
At 7 o'clock, yes.
Okay.
So we'd love to have you come out.
And so please RSVP. Is there a phone number where people can call for information?
People can call the house. I just ask they don't call too late in the evening because I am but my home phone number is 614-486-6486. I'll run that back one more time. 614-486-6486 and just ask for Don.
Great. Thanks. That's very nice of you. Okay.
Great.
All right. We've got about 5 minutes to go here. Any thoughts on what's going to happen with the Green Party in Franklin County? Is it going to grow?
I'd say so. Right now we're doing some searches for folks that are interested in running for political office. There's some huge political offices up for election next year here in the city of Columbus and Franklin County, where I live in Upper Arlington. We've got the mayor's race is coming up, so we've got, I think, four seats on Columbus City Council that we're looking for folks to step up and raise their hand and say they want to run for that. The county prosecutor's office position is open. I think the county auditor is open. There's a whole handful of them. So that's one thing we're doing. We're also looking to build it, you know, again, from the grassroots up. So we're looking for folks even that want to get involved in a, you know, a much more local level in their precinct or in their ward as, you know, ward persons, people that go out and, you know, drum up support for the Green Party, you know, distribute signs, go out and get signatures on petitions, hold fundraisers, for
Great.
Instance.
So if people want to volunteer, they can email that email address again.
Certainly,
and sign
reach,
up.
Reach out to me at fcgreenparty@gmail.com.
Great.
And would be very much interested in hearing from you. You know, the other thing is we've got to get people involved in this. I mean, we are truly a grassroots organization. We've got, you know, six or 12 very active members in this organization, and it's hard, you know, to build a political party with just that.
Great. So plenty of work to do if people want to volunteer.
We got lots of work, and it's a good group of people to work with. I mean, that's the thing that I think I enjoy the most. The people that I get to work with are people that share my values, my commitment to my beliefs, or the beliefs that they have. I mean, it's a great group of folks to work with.
Great.
And how are you going to get past? I think one of the key problems is always fear of the Republicans. The Democrats can always say, you've got to elect us because these people are even worse than us. I mean, the fame, you know, lesser of two evils.
Well, how's that been working so far? I guess that's the question I would ask.
And there's also the spoiler argument. People always want to say, well, I don't know about the Green Party, but I mean, I always bring up the important election protection activities that the Green Party does. Just by being an official party, we're able to monitor the elections. And a lot of times that actually helps Democratic candidates. I think that definitely helped Obama in 2008, that we were able to protect the election and make sure that some of the fraud that had happened in past years didn't happen in 2008. And, you know, I really think that... people are really eager and almost desperate for an environmentally sound party that can, you know, offer guidance on some of those issues and the ecological wisdom and the diversity that actually represents people. You know, all kinds of people from different backgrounds. You know, we really, I think, want to take those into account and allow people to represent themselves with our party. And that's part of the personal responsibility too, is that, you know, you're not letting a political party or a candidate just speak for you, that you're actually empowered to speak for yourself and to take responsibility for the world as it is, you know, whether that's environmental things or your own personal economics.
You couldn't be more right. And you couldn't have a better time than right now to get involved with the Greens. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a time in my life, I've spent about 52 years on this planet, where this party is needed more than ever. We've got too many things going on. We've got to get people, the government focused back on people, and people focusing on people that are in the government.
Right.
It can't just be corporations.
And the future is green jobs. And if you really want a peace party... Look, the people went out and voted for the Democrats in 2006, put them in Congress, voted for Obama in 2008. We're still in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We still got 50,000 troops in Iraq, so they're not permanent bases. We now call them enduring, but the wars go on. We still got 800 military bases abroad. They're clearly corporatist. They're passing out money, so it's not $1 trillion that Bush gave the bankers that tanked our system. It's $750 billion. It's three quarters. The Green Party is actually the difference at this point in history.
Absolutely. I mean, even when you look at something as the Health Care Act that got passed, I mean, we were supporting universal health care all throughout this, and we got a watered-down health care package.
Well, thank you so much, Don. It's been great having you on the show. Don Gibson from the Franklin County Green Party. And what was that email address?
fcgreenparty@gmail.com.
Thanks. This has been Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Dispersing ecological wisdom.
Thank you.
shot to whisper.